Blog Talk Radio.
I hate you both. I've hated you ever since I can remember. I hate you, and I wish you both had cancer.
Cancer?
Yes, in the head.
I'm as tired as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
Are you telling me you built a time machine? Out of a DeLorean?
That's hot.
Hello there, children.
Hey, kids.
People seem to like me because I am polite and I'm rarely late.
And now, the host of the Stupid Cancer Show, Matthew Zachary.
Monday, April 6th. And we are once again live on the Stupid Cancer Show, the voice of young adults with cancer, your friendly neighborhood weekly social webcast, finally giving voice to nearly 5 million young adults affected by cancer. This broadcast is a program of the I'm Too Young for This Cancer Foundation, a national leader in the fight against cancer, working exclusively on behalf of survivors and their care providers under the age of 40. Got cancer? Under 40 sucks, huh? Well, get busy living, because the Stupid Cancer Show is on the air. Welcome to tonight's broadcast, my friends. We are here to change the world one chemo infusion at a time and share all of our collective crapness. Now, call me a hippie, but do not call me a victim, because I don't believe that change is possible if you never disrupt and challenge the status quo. I am still here. You are still here, and this is why we fight. Forget the cure, folks. That's right, you heard it here first. Forget the cure. Survivorship is all that matters. So welcome, my friends, to the Stupid Cancer Movement, because we're here to stay and the couch is comfy. Here in Stupid Cancer Land, we're not just about the quantity of your life, we're about the quality, too. Why? Because there's more to the cure than just cancer research. They need to cure cancer. For Gen X and Gen Y, whatever that means, is only going to come from within our own ranks. Are we on our own? Well, I say that if we're the generation that invented Google, Facebook, Second Life, and kept Sanjaya on American Idol all those weeks, we should be able to take care of our own. This is Generation Cancer, and it is our fight. We have the sheer numbers, the voting power, and the influence to change the rules. Because remission is not an excuse for a cure, and survivorship is all that matters. On last week's show, scholarships and disability rights with Bunny Leach from the Nikki Leach Cancer Foundation and Joanna Morales and Paula Perlman from the Disability Rights Legal Center and the Cancer Legal Resource Center. Clearly a major issue for the young adult community to know about their rights. The disability rights and the legal rights as young adult survivors. Tonight, in case you haven't yet been overwhelmingly bombarded by the constant social messaging, it is National Young Adult Cancer Awareness Week, starting today, April 6th. And tonight on the show, we will have David Tabatsky, a co-author of the brand new Chicken Soup for the Soul cancer book called The Cancer Book, 101 Stories of Courage, Support, and Love. We will have an artist, musician on the show tonight. My friend Vicky Blankenship will be joining us, singer-songwriter, bladder cancer survivor, and one of the contributing artists to I2Y Volume 1, released in 2007. She'll be playing a segment from one of her new songs. And for the second half of the show, the uber leadership of the uber leadership for the young adult movement, Heidi Adams, young adult survivor, founder and executive director of Planet Cancer, an uber queen bee of all things young adults in the cancerverse. And joining Heidi will be Selma Schimmel, long-term young adult survivor, breast cancer, host of the Group Room Cancer Talk radio show, and the founder and CEO of Vital Options at vitaloptions.org. So, hello, my friends. Welcome to yet another fun-filled and exciting romp through the hay on tonight's Stupid Cancer Show, and a Stupid Cancer welcome to all of our first-time listeners here on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Coming at you live tonight, as always, from the Chemo Deck, our fabulous studio in downtown Manhattan, I'm your host, Matthew Zachary, a 13-year young adult pediatric brain cancer survivor. Joining me live tonight in our studio, as always, our chief cancer anarchist, Jack Buffard. Hello, Jack.
What's up, buddy? How you doing?
Dude. So Jack will be monitoring our live, concurrent, interactive chat room. So if you have something to say, while I might ignore you, he won't. But feel free to ignore him, as the ladies always do.
Always, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's your plight.
Carol, I'm getting used to it.
You probably should be getting used to it at this point. And it's always my esteemed pleasure to welcome my partner in crime here, my co-host on the Super Cancer Show, the lovely and talented Carol Rosenthal. She's not here yet. She's on location in Washington, D.C., and will be joining us shortly. Carol spent the day in D.C. lobbying congressional leaders in advocacy for health care insurance reform for the young adult population. And let me tell you, she's going to have a lot to talk about when she joins us later on in the show. So that's a pretty good week. Jack, what were you up to this week?
Oh, I've just been saving the world one chemo infusion at a time, as usual.
You're hired.
But speaking of D.C., Matthew, in connection with Young Adult Cancer Awareness Week, I am going to be partaking in Children's Cause for Cancer Advocacy's Lobby Day in D.C. on April 30th. So if anybody's in the D.C. area and wants to find out about it, go to childrenscause.org. We're basically going to overrun the Capitol building and talk to all of our congressmen and get more funding for cancer.
Clearly something very awesome. Do you know what that involves? Are they training you how to do that, like, walk and talk thing with the senators?
Yeah,
and
a little bit. Similar to anybody who experienced the Livestrong Summit. It's similar to that, where it's you basically just learn how to talk to the congressmen and the senators, because you have to catch them real quick and you know, just schmooze them and tell them to get more money for funding, like, for our disease that we're so passionate about.
Yeah, I've been asked so many times to consider doing legislation or lobbying in D.C., and, you know, I don't think I have the personality for it, because I don't like to couch things. I don't like to sugarcoat. I would literally walk up to a senator, shake him, and say, your kid's going to die from cancer. Give us money or I'll kill you. And then I'd be arrested, because the Secret Service would probably jump on me right away.
Yeah, well, I think the easy thing that I have is the statistics behind our survival rates and the fact that they haven't improved in over 30-something years. And a lot of people are becoming aware of that this week, especially with the National Young Adult Cancer Awareness Week that we're kicking off with this show. And the numbers are staggering, and I think just showing people the numbers will wake them up. You don't really have to feed them too much Kool-Aid.
I think Carol has joined us. Carol, is that you? Oh, I think she was taken into the green room to be screened. I believe that is her. She'll be joining us in just a second. But, yeah, I mean, this whole notion of actually getting some penetration into Washington, D.C. about the young adult agenda, has that ever actually happened before?
I honestly don't know, but it was nice to see when President Obama released the stimulus package that some of that money is going to go toward the very cancers that the young adults are facing. So that was a good plus.
Well, keep my fingers crossed here. Yes, that is Carol. So we are officially unmuting Carol. Carol, welcome to joining us from your on-location stint in the D.C. area.
Hello, Matthew.
Oh, and we were just talking about you, in case your ears are buzzing.
My ears are totally buzzing. What fantastic things did you have to say about me?
Well, we talked about how you are the uber up-and-coming, amazing rock star of the young adult cancer advocacy world, and that you were in D.C. today laying down the smack. I wanted to hear a little bit about that before we cut away to some of the news and our guests.
Excellent. Well, you know, the main message that comes away from this, like, whirlwind, incredibly fantastic day at the Capitol today was that anybody, yes, anybody, can waltz into a representative's office and just lay it down on the table and read them the Riot Act about young adults with cancer and the importance of the issues that we're facing and how we need representation on these issues. And you know what? They listened, and they're going to keep listening. And so it's kind of amazing because sometimes you think, oh, this is what lobbyists do or this is what D.C. people do, but I'm not a D.C. person. And I just waltzed in and I, you know, sat down and spoke with one of the main healthcare aides for Senator Kennedy, who, of course, authored the Kennedy-Hutchinson bill along with Hutchinson, who I'm meeting with their aides tomorrow. And I just want to impress upon people that, you know, we are part of a group here, and nobody is going to stand up for us unless we do it ourselves, and we can't be intimidated by picking up the phone and calling our representatives or hopping on a plane and, better yet, coming in person to Washington. I did it, and everybody else can too.
I'm trying to make an effort not to hop on planes. I've had the worst luck in the history of mankind over the last three trips that I've taken in trying to, A, leave and or return to New York City.
I know, but that's you, Matthew. The rest of us, we don't have an airplane jinx, you know? And I encourage everyone to hop on an airplane and come to D.C. and, you know, shout a little bit.
Well, I guess we have to mention, obviously, this is April 5th through 11th is National Young Adult Cancer Awareness Week. Consider Cancer is this year's call to action with an emphasis on encouraging young adults to talk to their doctors, knowing the warning signs of cancer, understanding what types of cancer they may be at risk for, to learn about cancer screenings and healthy lifestyle choices, talk to your friends, connect with one another, and if you've got questions about your health, just ask. So, Carol, obviously you've been all around the place. I saw you in Chicago, you're up in Boston this week, and you're down in D.C. now. Talk a little about, not that I'm interviewing you, but for our listenership, this whole notion of Young Adult Cancer Awareness Week. I've had so many people say, I've never heard of this, and now it's the seventh annual. So what do we have to look forward to now that this is finally getting some national attention?
Well, look, I mean, obviously, young adult cancer awareness is something that we need to be thinking about 365. It's not just, you know, 7 days out of the entire year. However, it is really purposeful to have 1 week out of the year where we really have a reason to call other people to our agenda and can say, hey, hop on our bandwagon because it's Young Adult Cancer Awareness Week. That's why I was in D.C. this week talking to representatives. And I also had a phenomenal book party here last night in D.C. where most of the people there were not connected to young adult cancer. They didn't have cancer. And I sprung it on them. And I said, you know, hey, this is an issue that we need to talk about. And the next time you meet with your physician, you need to make them aware that young adult cancer exists and does happen. So, you know, I think that what we can expect are more calls to action where we're going out into the community that's beyond our circle of the young adult world and educating them and advocating.
Well, well said. Well said. Let's cut away to Jack and give him a chance to get some attention. And we'll go to the news and then we'll come back around. So let me find this little cue here and here we go.
Hello, I'm Kent Brockman and this is Eye on Cancer.
Just the facts, ma'am.
Alrighty, during this part of the Stupid Cancer Show, we announce worthy news stories to our adoring listeners to inform them about the latest and greatest in young adult programs, services, events, projects, and other stuff. If you have an upcoming program, event, or press release that you would like to hear broadcast during this very segment, please fax it to us at 646-861-2565 or email Jack Buffard at jack@i2y.com. Take it away, Jack.
Thank you, Matthew. First up, the I'm Too Young for This Cancer Foundation and the Leukemia Lymphoma Society are proud to present the 2009 OMG Summit for Young Adults, Monday, May 4th in New York City. The Oh My God Summit provides attendees with valuable resources specific to the needs of young adult patients and survivors. Check out the OMG website at www.omgsummit.org. The pre-registration process is sold out, and we've begun our waitlist process. Statistics regarding events like the OMG Summit say 20% of pre-registered guests will not attend, so get on the wait list if you want to come and know that you still have a chance to attend this awesome event. As a precursor to the May 4th OMG Summit, the I2Y New York City Meetup Group is staging our pre-OMG Happy Hour Wednesday, April 29th at the Mercury Bar, located at 9th Avenue and West 46th Street in Midtown Manhattan. Join us as we kick off the OMG 2009 season with a fun night out on the town. Breast Cancer Recovery is proud to present their 2009 Infinite Boundaries Retreat, May 28th through May 31st in Eagle River, Wisconsin. Please refer to bcrecovery.org for more information, or you can reach Breast Cancer Recovery at 888-821-1140. Hey, all you survivors in OH. OH, Matthew?
I-O.
Thank you.
Oh, there we go.
Wow, those sound cues are great. Saturday, May 9th, Matthew will be the keynote speaker at the 2nd Annual Brain Tumor Awareness and Survivor Event in Columbus, Ohio. This event is presented by The Ohio State University, Comprehensive Cancer Center, James Cancer Hospital, and Solove Research Institute, and is being held at the Fawcett Center on the campus of The Ohio State University. There is no cost to attend, however, registration is required. To register for this survivor event, please call Deanne Valentine at 614-293-4448. Seattle, Washington. Are you looking for a support group to partake in? Well, put down your latte and pay attention, because the Leukemia Lymphoma Society is here to help. The Young Adult Support Group will meet on the third Monday of the month for the next 5 months. To register for this free group, log on to www.lls.org/WA or contact Stacy Martin at stacy.martin@lls.org or give Stacy a call at area code 206-957-4583. Attention New York City. Friday, April 17th, Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center is hosting their regional conference focusing on brain tumors. Gain up-to-date information on your own or a loved one's diagnosis with others in the brain tumor community. Attendees will learn about the latest advancements in standard and experimental therapies, integrative medicine, coping strategies, and more. For more information on this Memorial Sloan Kettering Conference, refer to www.braintumor.org. Can't Make a Dreams Ovarian Cancer Retreat is being held April 30th through May 4th. Make Your Dreams Young Adult Survivor Retreat, which I will be attending, Matthew.
Is
May 13th through the 18th. I, along with other young adult survivors, will be heading out to fabulous Montana, and I hope you can join me for this Young Survivor Camp. For more information on hanging out with me at Camp Make a Dream, please refer to campdream.org or call Camp Make a Dream at 406-549-5987. Has everyone purchased Carol's book yet? Everything Changes, The Insider's Guide to Cancer in Your 20s and 30s, is the newly released book written by our very own Stupid Cancer co-host, Carol Rosenthal. Everything Changes dusts the sugar coating off the young adult cancer experience. It is packed with gripping stories and is an unprecedented collection of young adult cancer resources. Everything Changes is available wherever books are sold. Visit the website everythingchangesbook.com. Next up, we have 70k.org. That's the word 70, the letter K.org. There are approximately 70,000 people aged 15 to 39 diagnosed with cancer every year. For over two decades, there has been little or no improvement in survival for this age group. By signing this bill, you are supporting the Adolescent and Young Adult Cancer Bill of Rights to be established as a standard for care to meet the needs of this underserved population. Moving on to cancer care programs. The young adult groups that are active and running at Cancer Care are as follows: Living with Cancer, Inactive Treatment, Life After Cancer, Post-Treatment, Young Adults, Loss of a Parent, Young Women with Breast Cancer, Young Adult Individual Grief Counseling, and Young Adult Caregiver for all diagnoses and relationships. Contact our friend Julie Larson at jlarson@cancercare.org. That's jlarson@cancercare.org, or you can reach Julie by phone at area code 212-712-6173. Next up, and there's no pun intended here, Matthew, we have Live On, Sperm Banking by Mail for Cancer Patients. Don't do what I did, guys. Mailing sperm with a Live-On kit, without a Live-On kit is frowned on by our federal government. For more information on sperm banking by mail, please go to www.liveonkit.com. Live Sperm Banking by Mail is made possible by our good friends at Fertile Hope, and I would, again, like to send a big thank you out to the law firm of Dewey, Scroom & Howe for clearing up my embarrassing situation with the United States Postal Service. Matt, I don't know the last time you were on events.i2y.com, but we have a slew of events coming up.
Yes, everyone needs to pay attention.
Okay, in chronological
order.
Yes, because you will be attending all of these, especially the ones that are on opposite coasts on the same night.
Yes.
events.i2y.com is where you can find all the i2y happy hours, coffee hours, everything that we do. First up, we have a Stupid Cancer Coffee Hour this Wednesday, April 8th, at Java's Cafe, 16 Gibbs Street in Rochester, New York. And that is from 7 to 9 because Leah's got to get home. It's a school night. Next up, we have April 11th in Durham, North Carolina. Alvia's, is it Alvia's or Olivia's?
Olivia's.
Olivia's, Durham Bistro. I knew that, Matthew. 10:30 p.m. to 2 a.m., which is at Olivia's Durham Bistro, 900 West Main Street in Durham, North Carolina. That is our Crunk for Cancer event, which will be immediately preceded, Matthew. I don't know what.
Are you drunk tonight? Lay off the sauce, dude.
Too much baseball today. Okay, Olivia's Durham Bistro from 8 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. will be Drink, Dine, and Donate. A $50 cover charge gets you dinner and two drinks and helps support the young adult cancer community. And that is immediately followed by the Crunk for Cancer. Next up, we have April 28th in Gainesville, Florida. I2Y Gainesville is proud to present I2Y Stupid Cancer Ice Cream Social from 5 to 9 at Sweet Dreams in Gainesville, Florida. And again, Wednesday, April 29th, Mercury Bar, 9th Avenue and 46th Street, New York. I2Y is proud to present the pre-OMG Stupid Cancer Happy Hour. There is no cover. Friends and spouses are always welcome at all of our events. And finally, the last event is the Stupid Cancer Happy Hour, April 30th, from 7 to 11 at the Valley Tavern in San Francisco, California. So all of these fabulous events can be found at events.i2y.com. And finally, appearing live in New York City for one night only, Matthew Zachary is pleased to announce his return to the public stage. An evening with Matthew Zachary is being held at the Ann Goodman Recital Hall on West 67th Street, which I might add is relatively close to Lincoln Center. So as far as I'm concerned, Matt, you're playing Lincoln Center.
Thank you.
General admission tickets are being offered at $20, and VIP tickets are $40. Seating is limited to 100 tickets, so please get your tickets ASAP by visiting www.matthewzachary.com/NYC. And I'm also pleased to announce, related to this event, that we had an angel sponsor who donated 20 tickets for this concert. So if you are a survivor and you would like to go, please email mz@i2y.com, and we can get you in for free. And that, my friends, is the Stupid Cancer News.
What time is it?
All righty. My first guest was the consulting editor for Marlo Thomas's New York Times bestseller, The Right Words at the Right Time, Volume 2. He's published two editions of What's Cool Berlin and written for the Forward Parenting and Sesame Street Parents. That's pretty cool. He's worked as an actor, a clown, a juggler, appearing throughout the U.S. and Europe, including his critically acclaimed solo performance at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. He teaches theater at Adelphi and currently works with writers, developing memoirs, editing fiction, and creating nonfiction projects. He's here to discuss his contributing role to the brand new Chicken Soup for the Soul book called The Cancer Book. Please welcome to the Stupid Cancer Show, David Tabatsky.
Hey, Matthew.
Hello, David.
Hi, Matthew. How you doing?
Welcome to the show, my friend.
Hey, congrats on your concert coming up.
Yeah, I'm nervous as all get out, but it's going to be pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
It's going to be great.
Thank you. Because Jack said it's going to be great.
I'm not nervous at all.
Of course not. So, yeah.
It'd be pretty weird if you weren't nervous.
I know. I give concerts all the time, but there are also like these prefabbed audiences at cancer events, and I haven't given a public concert like this in a little over 9 years in the city. So it's kind of like, will people show up? They'll always be, well, you're the artist, an artist's plight. Will they show up? Get the audience to show up and applaud for you, right?
Well, yeah. So you wonder who's going to show up, but you wonder which part of you is going to show up too. That's what. If it was me, that's what would make me nervous. It's not how many people are going to show up, but how much of me is going to show up.
Now you just made me that much more worried.
Yeah, now we can add to your plate of worries. Hey, David, I'm so curious to ask you some questions about the new Chicken Soup for the Soul book that came out. I've been reading it, and it's fantastic. And
oh, that's nice to hear. Thanks.
Yeah, and As a writer myself, I have so many people asking me, how do I get my cancer story published? You know, when I don't know if it's young adult specific or if lots of people who go through cancer just have this really fantastic urge to share their story through writing on the printed page. And I'm curious to know how the editing process went. How many people, flooded you with stories? How did you choose which ones to use? What was that like?
Well, first of all, just to get the stats out there, there are about 30 stories. You know, there's 101 contributors in every Chicken Soup book. So there are in this as well. That was the one condition that I had to stay consistent with, was 101 stories to fit, in a certain size book. And then, of course, there's the memoir. That's a unique kind of contribution to this book, is the memoir from Elizabeth Baer. It's just a word. And if we'll have a minute to get back to that later. But it's in the actual book, there's about 30 people, ages 11 is the youngest, well, teenagers really. It's like 30 teenagers up through those in their 20s and 30s, which is the demographic that you're all reaching out to. And so they're well represented. That's about 30% or a little bit more in this book. And it was really important to me to get them. I reached out. I recruited quite a few of them, and some of the others, submitted. And they weren't all necessarily, literally cancer survivors themselves, but family of people who were encountering cancer. And so, and for me, that was one thing. I wanted to get that age represented just as much as the actual patients were the people who were dealing with it, in some sort of peripheral way.
And where did that, well, first of all, thank you. As a young adult person living with cancer, thank you. And where did that knowledge and drive come from? Because often we're off people's radar. So how was there a person in your life, or how did the young adult's constituency come to be important enough that
30%? I've been wondering about that. I think it's probably just a natural thing for me. First of all, I have two children of my own. Who are now 12 and 14. So I think that whole age group is on my radar, from a personal point of view and also from all the teaching work I've done. And right now I'm teaching college kids. I've been doing that for quite a few years, but I was involved in it. When I started to work on this book was just after the semester ended last summer. So I was... it was fresh in my mind, and then I guess that's maybe where it comes from.
Mm-hmm.
I have those people in my life in a very big way. So, and I thought that what's important in this book is to throw the net out really wide.
I think a lot of people want to know about the writing process and. Mm-hmm. How did you choose the stories that you chose? As an editor, what mm-hmm. made something click, or why did you decide to include the ones that you did?
Bribery.
Yeah, right.
Is that why you're in the book, Matthew? You paid him enough?
I gave him an evening with Matthew Zachary. Oh, my God!
There were... a couple of thousand stories submitted on the, through the Chicken Soup for the Soul website, which was pretty daunting. I recruited a certain amount of stories myself, people that I knew, and then some people that I knew led to others, which was pretty fantastic. And it's a pretty complicated process. First of all, you want to try, there's certain things just fall into place right away. You want to make the book as equal as you can between men and women, so it's not complete. You have always more women who submit to books like this, to anthologies and all, and they're more apt to sit and write and submit something. So, but in the book is about 60-40 women to men, which is a pretty good percentage, for this type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so there right away, you're going to lose stories. I mean, I also had, there were a tremendous amount, the percentage was pretty big with stories of women who had their experience with breast cancer, but I didn't want the book to be dominated by that. As it is, there are quite a few. There are probably over 20 stories related to breast cancer, but they're not all by women who had breast cancer. There are some from their husbands, some from their children, and so I didn't want any one group to take over the book in that way, which when it would be easy to do, but also to stretch out to a bigger reading group. And also then you get into the idea about the quality of the writing, and it's hard to say no to a story when there's a heartfelt story coming in, and it's like who am I to judge whether that's worthy or not? I mean, especially with some of the awful stuff that people are living with. But then to say, gee, you know, I don't think this story is going to make it into this book. This is just one book. I kept having to remind myself, this is not the Bible. It's just, I mean, hopefully people will buy it like it is the Bible, but it's not. I mean, it's one book. It's one slice of 100 portraits.
Let me ask, David, let me chime in here. We have an incredibly full show tonight, and I want to make sure we get to the really pointed questions.
Okay.
Chicken Soup for the Soul was launched on the heels of Cancer Survivor Stories, and it sort of deviated out into like Chicken Soup for the Golfer on Tuesday, who's got like a left foot, you know, itch and something on his, you know, whatever. We seem to come full circle now, and why do you suppose that is, or is it just like everything old is new again?
Well, it's 10 years. You know, they did a cancer book 10 years ago. Approximately 10 or 12 years ago it was, and then there was a book on breast cancer a little bit more recently, and so it was time. It's also, you know, the numbers are just going through the you know, off the charts here with how many people are affected by cancer, and I think that's what was motivating them when they asked me to do this book. One thing is it does bring the series back to a certain core value, I would suppose one could say that, yeah.
Yeah, I just love to dig into the cultural anthropology in the terms of the differences between the state of cancer stories 10 years ago and where they are today. That's almost like a senior thesis waiting to happen, deconstructing what it was like to be a cancer survivor 10 years ago, you know, opining into this liturgy.
Oh my God! I mean, just the fact that these books exist. I mean, there weren't hardly any of them, you know, 10 or 20 years ago, and the kinds of the things that you're doing now. I mean, let alone not even just what the technology allows, but the actual just community networking that's coming from all different directions. There's no comparison.
Well, Carol, I'll give you the last question, and then we'll find out how people can learn more about the book and pick up a copy.
Okay. Well. You know, I'm sure maybe you're going to just totally bias this question to perhaps, you know, Matthew Zachary's on the phone here and his story's in the book. But if you had to pick...
Well, it should be titled Matthew Zachary and the Cancer Book, right?
Yeah,
you're hired. David, you're hired.
Chicken Soup for the Matthew Zachary Soul.
Oh,
if you had to pick one story that just leaps out to you out of the crowd of 101 that, you know, it's just like on your mind as you think and speak about this book to, you know, entice our listeners to go grab it, which one story would that be that you
please
keep
be
coming
me, please
back
be me,
to?
Please be me. Please be me. Please be me. Please be me.
Not you.
I'm going to do
you.
Something. I'm going to read you something now that's short and sweet to the point, okay? I am a giant. I am small but big. I am weak but strong. Mom took me to the doctors, said I have cancer. Didn't know what it meant. All I heard was, no hair. But I was to be who I am today. A survivor is what I am. I am a child, a friend, a daughter. I am 5 years in. I am a cancer survivor. Woo-hoo! That's by Serena Smith, age 12.
Excellent.
Go, Serena.
To me, that says... To me, that's actually story number 101. I chose to end the book with that, end the collection there, because Serena was the light at the end of this tunnel, and her strength and her beauty, just as a 12-year-old, I think, can resonate for all of us.
Well, this is a very meaningful book, a very poignant book, a very timely book to come out, and 10 years ago, the world was so different. The book is officially called, David?
Chicken Soup for the Soul, the Cancer Book. And it's available, you know, pretty much anywhere, you know, in all the major bookstores, and you can order it from Amazon and all the normal kinds of, you know, places.
Well, I thank you for being on the show. We'll have you back in a couple of months to see how the book's going. And
yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for it's great, all the stuff that you're doing. I've been following it and getting to know a lot more of it, you know, as a result of doing this book, and I just think it's great.
And for the record, thank you for giving me the humbling honor of being a part of the project. And anything that I can do to help you in the future, by all means, don't feel afraid to ask.
Likewise, Matthew.
Okay, David Tabatsky.
I look forward to talking to you soon.
You got it. David Tabatsky, Chicken Soup of the Soul. We're going to move right to our next guest. I'm going to pull her up here and figure out where is she. There she is here. Okay, let's move to our second guest here. My friend Vicki Blankenship has gained national recognition for her music, performing at festivals and venues across the United States, as well as speaking at her several music conferences, fundraisers, and events. Her music is played on indie radio shows around the world, and she's released two CDs, Don't Forget to Breathe and Horizons. She's in the process of recording her third CD project called Elements. She has devoted much of her time in the past 6 years to raising awareness for cancer founded Indie Music for Life, a nonprofit. She's also a contributing artist to the I2Y Benefit CD Volume 1 and a really good friend of the show. My pleasure to welcome to the Stupid Cancer Show my friend and yours, Vicki Blankenship. Hello, Vicki.
Hi, Matthew. How are you doing tonight?
Hi. We're having an exciting show. Sorry to keep you on hold so long, but
I know. I got to get that book. I have several chicken soup books, and I've got to get this one in my collection. Fantastic.
Yeah. And Carol's right. It's really a good book. The stories are in there, and again, it's really hard to make it. It's not a contest, pick and choose out of 1,000 or 2,000 submissions, but it's a really quality book. They did a very, very good. They made good decisions this year, and it's a quality project.
Great.
So, you know, this will be a shorter segment, but I want to play your song. I want to hear what you've been up to, and I want to talk about, you know, this is National Young Adult Cancer Awareness Week. I'm a musician. You're a musician. There's a whole thing out there about sharing your story through your art, through your creativity, and how we choose to express ourselves, and you're a perfect example of that, and you know, your story is amazing. Why don't you tell us a little about how you got started being a fabulous survivor and how that affected your music and where we're going to lead to this song tonight.
Well, in 1998, I was first diagnosed with bladder cancer. Not as common in young women, but I did have a lot of contributing factors growing up working around various pesticides on a farm. My father was also a printer, so I was involved in a lot of heavy inks and dyes and things like that.
That's like the best stuff ever, isn't it?
Yeah, and really soaks into your body. So, but especially when you play with it like finger paint. But it was a big shock. You know, I went in for a checkup, thinking that I had a urinary tract infection or something like that. Several rounds of antibiotics didn't clear it, and they decided to look into it further, and I was diagnosed with the bladder cancer. And,
how old were you at the time, Vicki?
I had just turned 40. I was 2 months, 40 years and 2 months. And so, you know, a person, I was very healthy, was very active, played a lot of sports, so it sort of floored me, you know. And, you know, I went through a second round again, and it came out of remission in 2000. And at that time, I decided life was too short, and that's when I decided to move to the beach, do a little healing, and started doing music full time. And so the Don't Forget to Breathe CD was my first project. And then a year later, a couple of years later, I came out with my Horizon CD. And now I have a long-awaited project that's been on the back burner for several years, my third CD project, which is called Elements.
And we met probably in 2006 or 2005, and I was overwhelmed by the quality of your art. And you pretty much, you know, we became enamored with each other, and I was so honored to have you be one of the first artists who were contributing to our music project. And also equally enamored by your Indie Music for Life project as well.
Yeah, that was my child. It also has gotten a little bit on the back burner. I basically had to step back from the nonprofit a little bit because I had leukemia that came about in 2007. And so I've been struggling a little bit with that, was back into chemo and everything again. And so I had to step away from just completely surrounding my life with cancer and try to take a positive step to go back into healing myself. And not that I will never stop being an advocate for cancer. I'm fully an advocate. At almost every one of my shows, I tell people, get out your checkbook and walk down directly to a cancer research facility and donate money, because that's the best way to get your money going directly into cancer research.
Well said. And we say that all the time. Eliminate the middleman. Just write the check to the scientist.
Exactly. And that was one of the things that we tried to do with Indie Music for Life. No one in our board, nobody in the organization was paid. You know, we contributed everything directly into facility. So I would tell people at our shows, if you don't want to make a contribution directly into Indie Music for Life, get your checkbook out and go directly down to your local, you know, every big city usually has a cancer research facility. So, you know, go in and make your contribution that way.
Well, let's cut away to this song. Tell us a little bit about it. It's part of your new album, and I'm sure it's very deeply meaningful to you.
Well, actually, I think the song that you're getting ready to play was on my Horizon CD.
Okay.
I haven't got the full productions. I'm actually starting the very first recording session May the 2nd for the Element CD. I'll be in New Hanover, Connecticut for about 3 weeks, so I'm really excited to get up north with some of my friends. But this is my mother's favorite song that's on my Horizon CD, so I had to plug that. I've got several members of the family that are listening in, so I had to plug that song for my mom. It's called You're All I'll Ever Need.
All right, well, here you go. Let's take a listen to You're All I Ever Need, or You're All I'll Never Ever Need.
Right.
Totally botched that up.
That could be a new song. So.
Right, exactly.
I'll write it.
Jack, that's Jack's song. So, all right, here, let's take a listen. Here we go. Alrighty.
Alright.
Well, Vicki, I got to tell you, we want to have you back on a longer segment here, but tell everyone your website, where people can learn about your music, and we'll keep plugging away. We're selling and giving away thousands and thousands of our benefit CDs with your music on it, so your story is being heard worldwide.
Awesome. Well, my personal website is Spotted Kiva Productions. That's K-I-V-A. Productions. It's named after my Dalmatian, who everybody knows, Kiva. And then my MySpace page is just MySpace Vicki Blankenship. You can also check out the nonprofit still with IndieMusicForLife.org and also IndieGirl.com, which is the division that works with women singer-songwriters. And please do check us out. Check out some of our shows. Check out my music. Continue watching The Stupid Cancer Show. It does great work, Matthew. You're awesome.
Thank you, Vicki. God bless you, and stay well. And, you know, we're always in touch, so I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Thank you
Thanks,
very much.
Thanks, Vicki.
All righty. Vicki Blankenship, everybody.
That was a good song.
Good song. Good song for Vicki. All righty. All righty. What do we got here?
We're going hopping.
Okay. My next two guests come in pairs. At least tonight they do.
How many pairs did these two people come in?
Heidi Adams and Selma Schimmel need no introduction, but I'll summarize really quickly. Selma Schimmel is a multiple cancer survivor. First diagnosed with breast cancer at 28. Went on to found Vital Options, the first organization for young adults with cancer. She has the Group Room Talk radio show. She is one of the founders of the steering committee, the Livestrong Young Adult Alliance. Heidi also needs no introduction. Planet Cancer, Uber Guru, 14-year Ewing sarcoma survivor. Lives and breathes young adult cancer. I aspire to be here one day. And without further ado, please welcome to the show simultaneously Selma Schimmel and the invenerable Heidi Adams.
Venerable.
Hi, Heidi.
Invenerable. Welcome
hey,
to the
gals.
Show, guys. Yeah.
Great
hey,
to
here we
great
are
to
again.
Have night number two with you all, pitching Young Adult Cancer Awareness Week, and I know our time is running short. So
no, it's not. We're going to go over. We're going to
oh,
go over.
Oh, good. Thank God.
Plenty of time.
We have plenty
of
time.
I'm still going to be pushy anyway. Can I still be pushy anyway?
I just want to dive into the heart of the matter. I would love to hear from each of you, because you have been so committed through the long haul, and Selma, you know, from the genesis of the young adult cancer movement. And
yeah, I live to be old.
Yeah, I love to hear from each of you just sort of where we've been, where we are now, and where you see us going.
Selma, you start with where we've been, because you're the woman.
Well, you know, I'm a 20, it's amazing to me. Tomorrow, I'm a 26-year young adult cancer survivor, so that dates me going back to 1983. So where we were was getting laughed at when I said to someone, I want to start an organization for young adults with cancer. And I was kind of told that, well, you know, young adults don't get cancer. There's no young adults. And what we tried to do back then in the 80s was, one, give an identity to young adults, just begin to talk about it, get us out of the closet. We have faces, we're real, and there's lots of us. And that our psychosocial needs were so much greater than. We talked about this on the show yesterday, that there was just no place today. You know, there's so many opportunities like this for young adults to network. But in those days, I mean, those are the days where Kytril, which was the drug for, one of the early drugs for anti-nausea, anti-emetic, that we were telling patients to try to get it and put it in orange juice or some kind of juice to drink it. So, you know,
that pill cost me $50 a pill when I was on it. And I took it 8 a day for like 6 years.
But you know what's interesting, and then I'll let Heidi take it from here, is that so many of the issues, like we said yesterday, we've come so far, but yet not very far at all. One of the big dilemmas we were facing, of course, was, you know, delayed diagnosis, young adults not being taken seriously. And I'm still just so amazed that that is as challenging of a problem now, and I know that's one of the goals of what all of us are doing and what the YAA is doing. But anyways, Heidi.
That was, yeah, it is. It was really interesting to think about that after your show yesterday, so I'm going to think about, you know, how far we've come and how far we have to go. But, you know, I think about even when I was diagnosed back in the early 90s and, you know, how alone I felt and never met anyone else my own age. And now tonight I'm sitting here, it's Young Adult Cancer Awareness Week, and I'm sitting here at Melodyne's bike shop surrounded by you young adults. Eric Shanto is harassing me in the chat room. I can see him right now typing. And I'm like, wow, you know, we have a way to find each other. And I think, yes, to me, that's a huge accomplishment and a huge progress. But now we have to take it to the next level. We have to,
yes,
take it to the next step to really make, you know, systemic change to help.
Yes, Dr. Siegel was very eloquent about this yesterday when he talked about the need for us to really understand the biology of cancer and look at what distinguishes our cancers differently, and the dosing of our drugs, and, you know, perhaps the molecular characteristics. And we're living for young adults today in such an exciting time. You know, when I was diagnosed, who would have ever heard of molecular pathology? Mm-hmm. And the fact that, mm-hmm, and young adults can drive technology and really put a new face on cancer, not just because we're young adults, or I'm not a young adult anymore, but also because science and technology is enabling positive changes that are happening very quickly.
Heidi, you know, I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about what it is that you do with Planet Cancer, because Planet Cancer is, you know, one of the huge hubs of the young adult cancer community, your social networking site, your retreats, and you are the queen of Planet Cancer. But I think that there's a lot that you do behind the scenes that a lot of people don't know about that's really incredibly important proactive advocacy. And I'd love to educate listeners a little bit more about what some of the things are that you do on a day-to-day basis to advocate for young adults.
It's really, I mean, you know, queen of Planet Cancer, whatever, you know, Miss, I went to the Hill today and kicked some ass. You are a rock star, Carol. I think it's just, for me, it's all about connecting young adults on one side and then trying to, on the flip side of that, make our voices heard in the medical community and in the broader arena, because, you know, now that we do have a voice and an identity and a personality and faces to go with these stories, you know, then we can take those out and tell them to doctors and nurses and social workers. So, you know, the Alliance, I think, sort of grew out of that desire to start with the individual and then take it to the collective. And so knowing that there are all these amazing people starting organizations around the country, thinking, how fast can we move if we all just come together in the same room and talk and you know, strengthen numbers. And that's sort of where we hope to go. So on a daily basis, you know, I talk a lot, and I write, and you know, I give talks and I give speeches and just try to connect people and connect organizations and get us all working towards the same goal. You know, we can move faster if we're not working against each other, but if we're working together.
And what are some of the issues that you discuss when you're talking to people in the medical community, specifically with social workers or
mm-hmm.
with doctors or nurses? What is it that you want them to know?
Well, specifically, I mean, the first thing to do is really just to make people aware of the problem. So what we actually came around to even at Planet Cancer this year is, you know, it doesn't matter how good our programs are if the people who are the gatekeepers won't send people to our programs. If our online community is awesome, if our retreats are the best ever, it doesn't matter if we can't get people there and participating. And so to really try and move the needle, we say, you know, here's why it's different to be a young adult with cancer. Here are the issues: fertility preservation, most likely to be under or uninsured, most likely to have a delayed diagnosis. Cancer is the leading disease killer in this age group. And just hammer those points home over and over and over. And anybody who's listening who hasn't gone in there and said that to their doctor, nurse, or social worker, do it now. Do it tomorrow. You know, say, this is why it's different. And you really need to be aware of the challenges and the issues that are specific to this age group.
Yeah, I think that's such an important message. You know, I gave my doctor a copy of my book, and he deals with young adults all the time, and he's so connected to us. But he said, when I read the stories and listened to what you guys deal with on a daily basis, then I really understood my patients. And I think that we really do have to go that extra mile to make them aware of the issues that we deal with on a daily basis.
You know what else, Carol, is it's they care. They really do care, but they don't realize the scope. A busy adult oncologist office might see, on average, 7 young adult patients in an entire year. So that never triggers the knowledge or the recognition that this is a group. This is a large group because they're all scattered. One thing that I say when I give talks, you know, to nurses or social workers, and sort of using Matt Zachary tactic, is to say, be subversive. You know, I understand HIPAA, but you can talk to your colleagues down the street and across town. And if I had a nickel for every time a social worker came up to me at a trade show and said, oh, we just don't have that many young adults. It's like, I know you have 2, and your people across the street have 2, and the hospital across town has 3. And guess what? That's a group. So it's just making the light bulb go on. And once it goes on, then they're usually like, wow, that makes so much sense. I never thought about it that way.
Can I chime in with a quick question for either Heidi or Selma? It comes down to, like, SEER data. If you want to get all nerdy and wonky about it.
Can some of you define what SEER data is? Because I'm sure that some of our listeners, you know, this is jargon. And let's talk before we dive into the question or the comments, what is SEER data, if you can just define that real quickly?
It's an anagram or acronym or whatever that word is for something involving the statistical something. Dr. Latin, all you guys probably know what it means except me, but it's the statistical accounting of survivor rates based on registries aggregated by the National Cancer Institute. That's pretty much what it is, right?
I thought that's a damn good definition.
Okay.
Sounds good to me.
All right. Jackson, so it's definitely the answer. My question is, they've been able to track survival rates for every population. Like, how we know that there's been no improvement in survival rates is because of SEER data. So how do they measure outcomes for young adults if we wind up making progress in convincing these doctors and reducing the risk of late detection and improving survival rates for young adults? How long will it actually take to know that we're making progress now that we have this collective national voice, this subversive fight club that we're putting together.
You want to take that, Selma?
Well, I don't think I can give a statistician's or a clinician's response to that. For me, I mean, if we look at 5-year survival rates, I'm going to guess that they're going to collect data over 5-year increments, and also it's not only going to be, it's going to be also influenced if we're diagnosing cancer sooner rather than later, because if we continue delayed diagnosis, then you're not going to see huge leaps forward in survival data, because obviously we still have an issue getting it diagnosed early. So I can't give a clinical answer, but I don't know if you can do any better, Heidi.
No, I think it's just going to, I mean, if you're talking about just looking at the SEER data, we'll know that there are improvements when the data show it. I mean, you track it the same way every time. You compare apples to apples. You know, we'll see it over time.
And one of the things that really concerns me for young adults is that, because they are young and there's a whole life ahead, that the tracking of patients and looking at long-term effects is most critical for this age group because of the number of years we would like our young adults to live. And I'm so concerned that, you know, these young adults fall through the cracks. And, you know, when you're young and you want to move on with areas of your life, it may be, or you're an adolescent survivor, you know, keeping on top of your medical history and not realizing as you age with all of your different therapies, you may be at risk for a slew of other diseases, from diabetes to cardiovascular disease to osteoporosis. So
that's a good point, Selma, because one of the big things about, I think one of the things we need to do, again, as this, as you said, subversive fight club, is not just, you know, get in there and get treatment, but we really need to have a shift in the young adult patient to be the empowered patient and to know the importance of follow-up care and of tracking so that we can have this data over time.
There's a real opportunity.
That's a big hurdle, because young adults are mobile and they move and they change doctors.
Online medical records for this generation, patient population, imperative.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, take me as an example, since I've had my disease multiple times, because when I got diagnosed, we didn't know about the BRCA mutation. The Human Genome Project hadn't started. So it was a surprise as a young adult with my family history, my mom with ovarian, that I was a carrier. But look, I took my ovaries out, got ovarian. I already had ovarian cancer, did that prophylactically. Then I got a primary peritoneal. But what I was able to do was take my medical records, going back to all the therapy I had, starting with breast cancer in my 20s, and then 20 years later, go figure, I never thought I'd get cancer. I'd passed such a long period. So we are at risk for skin cancers and secondary cancers. And so our clinical information from our first treatment is so important. And if you don't grab it in the moment, like now, all of you listening now, you don't have copies of your medical records. You don't have copies of your pathology reports. You don't have copies of your surgical reports. Go get them and keep them in a file, because you may need those one day.
Well said. Well said.
You know, I also want to hit home again, and I hate to keep on harping back to my day on Capitol Hill here, but, you know, about a half an hour we were talking about the importance of cracking open our checkbooks and writing checks to directly to cancer research centers. And, you know, in a way, we already do that, you know, with our taxes. We pay tax dollars, and this money, generous chunks of it are being, thank goodness, given to the National Cancer Institute through lots of stimulus activity that's happening right now. And I think that as important as writing the check is picking up the phone and calling our representative and saying, you know, it's imperative that when we are looking at how this money is allocated, that it's used to start young adult cancer tumor banks. It's used to improve the way that we are tracking young adults, our survival rates, and our long-term side effects. But we also need to make sure that this very large institution of the National Cancer Institute is similarly tracking us as a group and looking at our statistics, and we need to make sure that we're on their radar.
It's a very good point.
Yeah, I totally agree. Especially now, you know, there's such the opportunity right now, you know.
Heidi, we hear a lot of noise behind you. You're at some sort of cancer party, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's sort of winding down now, but yeah, we've had an event here at Melodjani's in Austin, Texas, with the Lance Armstrong Foundation, and had a lot of rather rowdy young adults here, and I'm specifically talking about Eric Chanteau, our Olympic swimmer friend, who is, I think, causing havoc in the chat room.
Excellent.
Along with our other young adult, Jordan, who's, yeah, they're just being bad. I apologize.
I
have to just thank all of you for something. I'm really moved that to see this was, you know, a seed of an idea 7 years ago when Vital Options celebrated, you know, 20 years since its founding as a young adult organization. And the fact that 7 years later that everyone's, like, doing all of this and that you're talking about it, and Heidi on the Hill and Carol on the Hill and Matthew, you know, that you have really created the opportunity of using technology in the coolest way as young adults more and more are. It's the world of social networking, and I just want to thank all of you, because tomorrow being my 26th anniversary, this has really brought a kind of meaning, a very personal meaning to my life, because for me it's my life's work, and to see it taken on a life of its own really has touched me deeply, so I just want to say thank you.
And thank you to you too, Selma.
Thank you, Selma. Thanks for kicking it all off and for showing us what can be done.
Yeah, well, you opened the door. We just walked through.
That's right.
No, but you all, you know, you all took it to a new level. And when you're diagnosed and you're a young adult, and maybe this won't resonate with all of you as young adults. I think it will. Even though I've grown up now and I'm, you know, 26 years older, there's a part of me that always lives in where I was, and those feelings are so intense of what it felt like, that talking to all of you brings right back to that phase in my life, and it just means a lot that I'm still connected to this new generation, because you've all done things that I could never have done, but I'm so glad I lived long enough to be friends with all of you and still feel young in heart.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks,
deeply
Selma.
Meaningful.
I think I might cry. Wait, is this the first ever Hallmark moment on the Stupid Cancer Show?
I think we're allowed one a year.
That was great, Selma.
And we wasted
thank
it
you.
With
Heidi. Because I'm old now and I can be old and sentimental.
We wasted our one sentimental moment for the year on Heidi. It's April. Whoa. Oh, we got to schedule better.
Jack, you're fired.
I'm just kidding, Heidi.
Whatever.
Eric put me up to it.
Yeah, he did, actually. I'll vouch for that.
Eric,
yeah.
You have
to I'm just trying to cause Heidi more trouble than she can handle.
Eric Chanteau, Olympic swimmer extraordinaire, everybody.
He can't hear anything because I'm hogging the phone. I just, like, put it up to his mouth and then I take
that's
it
okay.
away.
All right, we'll own that celebrity moment right there.
That's right.
So, yeah, I mean, so this is the 7th annual National Young Adult Cancer Awareness Week, and I'm excited for it. I get a lot of questions. I mentioned this to Carol before. People are like, I've never heard of this before. Where did it come up? Where have I been the last 6 years?
Hey, Matthew, can we just mention the Celebrity Pillowcase campaign? And
oh,
the,
sure.
Terry Wilcox, our creative director, was totally a really cool idea. I mean, Heidi, you got to admit, she did great going to the governor's.
Yeah,
she does, you know, kudos to Heidi. We knew that we would never get anything done if we went up to the Hill now trying to get proclamations. So she did a governor campaign, getting governors to write official proclamations. If you go, I don't remember it, and I don't have it in front of me. It was, I guess if you go to youngadultswithcancer.org, you will find the map, and you can look and see if your governor sent a proclamation in. And then we have the Celebrity Pillowcase campaign. It's all, she's photographed it. It's all going to be up on the website. And it's not too late if your governor hasn't sent one in. There's template letters there. You can write one and ask your governor to please acknowledge it. And then all of the bid for charity is going to be I'm probably screwing up that name, but they're going to be giving away the, that's where the auction is. So, and your group, under your leadership, Matt, those pillowcases were great.
We were very happy to contribute. It was an amazing and worthwhile project.
You know, something, a thought that's just creeping into my head is, you know, what incredible leverage it is, you know, moving beyond Young Adult Cancer Awareness Week, and when, you know, all the young adults who are out there listening are becoming more and more politically active, right? And so when we're finding that, you know, we're having health insurance issues, for example, say that you live in one of the states that doesn't provide for young adults being dependents on their parents' insurance up until age 25, what great leverage to go to your governor and to be able to say, well, you know, I know that you said you cared about young adult cancer awareness because you supported Young Adult Cancer Awareness Week. What can you do for us with health insurance? You know, so this is an incredible...
It's a great point, Carol. Great point.
It's an incredible opening and avenue to be able to go to your state legislators, because so much of health insurance regulation is legislated on a state rather than a federal level. And, hey, you know, these are your governors, guys, who have stepped up to the plate and said they want to support us. So let's have them put their money where their mouth is after Young Adult Cancer Awareness Week.
Yeah, and those proclamations, I mean, Carol's right, and they're available to you. And, yeah, we should be using them. And, Heidi, how many are there 115, I can't remember, organizations tied to Livestrong now?
It's right around there. I think it was about 110 last time I checked. But can I just interject and say that Governor Perry here in Texas actually did sign a proclamation, but it's in the mail somewhere coming from
We
the
will
old.
Accept it. We got one from Maine today, by the way. One came in from Maine.
Very nice.
This afternoon.
Yes.
Very nice.
I also want to let people know, I think it's up. The web. You all were on the show yesterday, so the group room, it's up, I believe. And you can then see Charlie Lessman, Made Me Nuclear. Why don't you plug your Made Me Nuclear event in L.A.?
Yeah, we've got the Cancer Palooza event coming up on May 18th, and Charlie Lessman, who was on the group room yesterday, is one of the musicians, the artist survivors that's performing that night. It's going to be an artist showcase of young adult musicians survivors from the L.A. area. And anyone in the L.A. area that's listening, go to cancerpalooza.org. It's going to be an incredibly exciting event.
Oh, and can I mention one more thing, please, Matt?
Yeah, of course.
That next week we decided to do with the One More Young Adult show we're going to deal with on the group room, dating after cancer, with cancer, sexuality, intimacy, relationships, all of that. And we really would welcome participation.
Absolutely.
Who doesn't want to talk about sex? It's my favorite subject.
Actually, we had one great, I can't say who it is, but she wanted to come on, but her boyfriend said that he wasn't comfortable talking about his personal life on the air. So a little disappointing, because we got to talk about it. We got to talk about it to help others know how to get through it, and just because it feels so good to talk about it.
If there's anybody out there who's been to a Planet Cancer couples retreat, if you guys are listening, shoot me an email, and we'll connect you with Selma so that you guys can represent that really important perspective.
Tell them to send me
why
a story.
Why don't you just bring
your
show back to us next week, Matthew?
There you go.
Tell them to send me a story, and I'll read his lines.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, it's a great reminder that the group room is a call-in show. So if any of you are listening now and want to listen to the group room next week, you can call in with your stories and your questions and your comments. And are people able to make anonymous calls in, you know, if you want
sure.
to be anonymous?
Sure. You know, you can give a false name when we screen you. We can also, you can email us your question on the air, your comment, or you don't have to come on the air, but you can, 1-800. GRPROOM. That's 800-477-7666. But you can email
you put
us.
On your radio voice just then.
Wow.
I know that.
Tell my radio voice. Chime in.
Yeah, I don't sound like that all the time. But remember too that even though every week we don't do a young adult show, and we do a lot of disease or content specific programs, if you're a young adult and you're dealing with the type of cancer we're talking about, that's a great opportunity for you to speak to one of the key opinion leaders, ask questions, use us as a resource, and it can become a young adult show in a matter of moments if you call us, because suddenly we got young adult issues. So use us.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's sort of a great reminder in general, is that we have this fantastic community that we all go to for support, but we need to keep remembering to show our faces in the cancer community at large so that nobody forgets that there are young adults here that are part of this larger cancer community and that, you know, our needs need to be met as well.
And if you look at a lot of, I know a lot of you were in it. You may or may not be in it. I don't know. The trailer for the grouproom.tv, the TV trailer, Chris Carr is in it. There's a lot of young adults in it. If you haven't seen it, it's inspirational. Go to the grouproom.tv, click on the trailer. There's quite a few. It's video, young adults there. But, Heidi, I think you got interviewed. Matt, you got interviewed. You're in it.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, the video, when they shot that, when Terry and Zach shot that for us, that was actually at our Cancer Palooza event from 2007. So the one we're having in May is a follow-up to that.
In my city?
Yes, in L.A.
Yeah. All right, well, I'm not in L.A., and now I'm going to go. I'm on the road, and I had to use a phone to make this call. Thank you, Matthew. Thank you, Carol. Thank you, Heidi.
Thank you, and I actually am going to have to
Oh, Jack, sorry, Jack, I didn't hear your voice.
You don't have to thank
That's
Jack.
Right, the ladies ignore me in the chat room and
Jack,
on the air.
I see you. I'm sorry, it's just that you have not been engaging in the discussion in the last 10 minutes.
No, never is either, so.
It's because my microphone's been muted.
But, Jack, I know who you are.
Uh-oh, she's coming after you now, dude.
Do I owe you money?
Selma, you're a rock star. Thank you so much for being
Great
a part of the show.
You're all stars. Thank you.
Thanks,
this
Selma.
To everyone, too.
Thanks a lot.
Bravo. Bye-bye.
All right. Selma Schimmel, everybody. And how about that 26-year Cancerversary tomorrow? That's a hell of an accomplishment. I'm coming up on 14 this year.
I'm a month away from one.
Yeah, Jack's a month away from one. So, all right.
I'm still in diapers.
Newbie.
Well, all right. Well, Carol and Heidi, we got 5 or 6 minutes left. We ran over. Very worthwhile to run over. We like when we run over for good reasons. Anything else you want to catch up on besides the tenaciously, obnoxiously dirty language being used in our chat room tonight, courtesy of the Planet Cancer
People? I had to move away so I couldn't monitor the children, so I apologize for that.
Yeah, Eric is welcome anytime to disrupt the status quo.
We're
going
to have to go
end.
Wash our hands out with soap.
Yeah, I knew
I
that.
I have a picture. I'll tweet it out as soon as I just tweeted it out, trouble in the stupid cancer chat room.
Yeah, I totally need, like, a shower now.
Yeah, totally.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, what I touched upon before Selma talked about the project with the pillows was that I got a lot of questions from people on Facebook once we started blasting this out last week, that this is the 7th annual Young Adult Cancer Awareness Week, and they've never heard of it, but they've been survivors all these years. And I want to know how we can prevent that from happening next year. We want as many people to know as possible. And, you know, I remember it happening last year, but it didn't have the oomph that it had this year. Do you think it's because of things like Facebook and Twitter that have just made it so much more easy to get the word out?
I think so. I think that social media, Facebook, Twitter, and the fact that we're all connecting in those places. And I also think there's something to critical mass. You know, there's a tipping point, and I think we hit it this year, you know.
I agree.
But, you know, we just need to, I think now that there has been some traction and some success this year, that next year, you know, we'll actually have a more coordinated coordinated approach, and we will all be, you know, harassing each other on Twitter and saying, well, what are you doing for Young Adult Cancer Awareness Week? Well, look what we're doing, and blah, blah, blah. You know, I think it'll be great to have this exchange, and the more excitement and community we can generate around it, then the more people want to get involved.
Well said. I agree completely.
Hey, guys, I'm being kicked out. They're shutting the doors, and I'm still on their phone. So I think I'm going to have to leave you.
Okay. We'll have
Thanks
you back
for being
sure.
Here.
Thank you guys so much for having me and for, you know, all that both of you do. It's really, really awesome.
I think you're obligated to bring Eric with you wherever you go now.
I know. I think he needs a babysitter. Hey, but Matt, don't call me venerable because that just hits me right where I lose all my young adult street cred. And
oh, okay.
Bad.
All right. I
I'll send you a new picture, too.
Okay, will do.
Bye, guys. Have a great rest of your evening and a great rest of your week.
All righty, everybody.
Thanks, Heidi.
Heidi Adams.
Thanks a lot, Heidi.
Heidi Adams, the one and only. The youthful, youth culture, young, beautiful, talented, and everything else that's positive and not the word venerable. Thank you very much for being on our show. All right, Carol. So what's going on? What do you got coming up now in your world travels? Where in the world is Carol San Diego?
Where in the world is Carol San Diego? Well, you know, I started the week off at in Boston at the incredible I'm Too Young for This conference that they had at Dana-Farber this past weekend, and it was phenomenal. I was the keynote speaker there, and there were also some fantastic breakout sessions and a lot of energy and a lot of enthusiasm there, and it was fantastic, and lots of conversation about advocacy and legislation. It's the buzz in the cancer community right now because this is really the moment that we need to seize, because so much change is happening politically right now that, you know, the message that I heard over and over again today was, you know, in the last 30 years, this is the most ripe moment that we've had. So we can't wait until next year for next year's Young Adult Cancer Awareness Week to be this politically active again. We will have missed the boat. So it's in the next month or two. So I went from Boston. I'm down here in D.C. now. I have a bunch more meetings on the Hill tomorrow. And then I'm heading off to Pittsburgh, and I'm excited to meet with some young adults there, and we're going to be having a conversation with Gilda's Club of Western Pennsylvania, between I'm Too Young for This and me, Matthew, Gilda's Club, and there are a lot of great survivors in Western Pennsylvania who are interested in turning up the volume of young adults' cancer action there. And if you go to my blog, which is everythingchangesbook.com, I'm going to be posting about an incredible benefit that's happening this weekend, Saturday night and the 11th of April, and I don't have the information on hand at the moment, but there is a phenomenal man named Rick Grabenis who was in my book, and he passed away a couple of weeks ago, and this benefit was going to be held to cover his medical bills and his medical expenses, and it is now going to be held in his honor, and it's going to be just a raucous, amazing sort of punk rock and otherwise musical extravaganza in his honor. And I've been contacted recently by his wife, who just has an incredible amount of energy to become a strong advocate for young adults with cancer. So I'm going to get that information up on my website, and I hope that anybody who is in listening and in the Pittsburgh area will come out on Saturday night to honor Rick and to build strength in that community, in the young adult community in Western Pennsylvania.
Well, good luck to you, Carol, and that. We'll be in touch for sure, and have yourself a great week.
You too, Matt and Jack.
All righty, and now it's time for our closing sequence.
Prepare to activate.
I hear there's rumors on the internets.
You ever seen a grown man naked?
And so, to all of you, a fond farewell.
Hooray, I'm helping.
You are a meathead.
Oh, Magoo, you've done it again.
That was so terrible, I think you gave me cancer.
All right, folks, that's tonight's show. I hope you had as much fun as I did poking a stick at stupid cancer.
Love.
Like to thank our guests, David Tabatsky, Vicky Blankenship, Heidi Adams, and Selma Schimmel. Next week, Stupid Cancer 101 with young adult musician Debbie Hennessy, Cancer Corner patient advocate and host Bob Grayson, and Sona Mehring, the founder of Caring Bridge. It's going to be a great show. Same bat time, same bat channel, folks. Remember, if you've missed any of our previous shows, you can listen to the archives at stupidcancer.com or subscribe to our podcast at itunes.ity.com. Remember, if it's not stupid, it's not cancer. We'll see you all back here next week, my friends, live from the chemo deck. Jack Buford, Carol Rosenthal, Captain Stubing, and I wish you all a great evening. Go to bed, Leah.
Locker out.